At a time of feeling at a dead end, I went to Scotland looking for my ancestral and even, I hoped, my tribal roots. In the rugged glens of the Tay River Valley, I discovered a legacy of which I had known nothing, a people, my people, living in direct relations with the land in self-governing commons and commons communities, small villages or hamlets called ferm towns or townships. They set stints or limits on the number of sheep and cows to be sent to the upland common pasture, and decided how often field strips should be left to rest, to lie fallow, and recover their fertility. The legacy I discovered included great loss as well, a loss that goes well beyond the dislocation of people from the land itself through the Highland clearances. My ancestors weren't just displaced. They were dispossessed. They were stripped of their traditional knowledge vested in the land, their ways of knowing through the experience of working that land, their ways of sharing this in a commons of knowledge and, in their spiritual practices, honoring their place in creation. They were disenfranchised, too, because they lost the legitimacy of local self-governance, the local interpretation of justice, fairness, and the common good. The so-called tragedy of the commons, I learned as I explored this lost history, turns out to have been based not on the facts of how people like my ancestors lived on the land, but on assumptions useful to those trying to clear them off of it. Belatedly, awkwardly, I mourned that loss and owned it. Then I boarded my flight home. Even on the plane, way up there at cruising altitude, I knew that I'd crossed some threshold. I grew up with my hands in the dirt, in the backyard of our home in a post-war suburb of Montreal and at our family farm in eastern Ontario, Canada. There I'd planted trees, picked stones from the fields, plowed and even helped pull weeds, acres at a stretch, by hand. I've continued growing a vegetable garden every summer of my adult life, freezing and preserving to have a store of chemical-free food with which to feed my family. But having walked the land with which my forebears had lived in direct and possibly even right relations since before recorded time, and having done some important memory work, I felt connected to the earth in a way I never had before. It was as though the center of my inner gravity had shifted. The intellectual fact that the word human derives from humus, the fecund soil of the earth, began to resonate with a deeper felt meaning. Not quite kinship, but moving in that direction. As I left the airport that day, I knew I was onto something important. I have stepped outside the box of modernity and stepped into a place where my First Nations neighbors no longer seem alien, exotic, and totally different from me. As I watch them recover their lost traditions, renew their old practices, and relearn their mother tongues, as I watch individuals I know struggle on their journeys of recovery, I sense parallels in the journey that so-called settlers in North America like me can undertake, personally and collectively, and perhaps need to as well.